in planning for the Congress in Seville, Spain this June. And well, I think after 55 minutes almost, I think I should change the subject. By the way, what you got in these pages are not just for your curious reading. And I have the originals faxed here so that I can make copies for you people, which I did this evening. And for example, Familia Ad Vita is in English publication, which Inter Mirifica is the American agent. Now, I really mean this, and we're not making money out of it. This is for the church. I really believe that you people should subscribe, because, and this is part of the price. And especially when you meet the people who have kept the faith out of communism, suffered, their relatives had been martyred for the faith. I told you, some of my own blood relatives in Slovakia. That's why I'm here. And I'm sure their sufferings have kept me in the faith over these years, because millions of once Catholic Americans are no longer Catholic. Even though they call themselves Catholic. In other words, you've got to really, I mean really, know your faith. To go, for example, with bishops. To go with priests. One homily after another, reports that I'm getting from people. Incredible. You hope it's ignorance, but it certainly is not the Catholic faith. So, I repeat, this is not just for ratification. Well, would you hold this mic up, please? You know about eternal life, don't you? Eternal life? Well, we started now. Tonight, you have not been distributed yet, have they? Suppose we start with one for each of you, and then see how far we get. And again, same thing. This is a crusade of prayer for the family. As of now, it is in the United States, but we plan to make it international. Because there is no way the family can survive by natural means in a country like the United States. No way. The pressures are superhuman. So, hey, you're welcome to two copies, by the way, of each, if how far do we get to the... So, Michael? If there's anything left over, I'd like to have, because these are just what I got from the publisher, because I was responsible for the print. Please. Will that be enough? Now, before we go on, I want to emphasize, can you hear me, by the way? Can you hear me? I want to emphasize that the catechetics, or the religious instruction, for which I hope you are being somehow prepared by our Kappa meetings, and then your 30-day retreat, and the course that you will be taking or are taking. And there's one thing that I got from Rome. It is to stress the need religious instruction for the family. The great concern of the Holy Father is the family. That means, of course, parents, so they in turn can teach their children, but also children, so that's what we are concentrating on. However, this is an organization, as you know, Eternal Life, which is having, by the way, its annual Church Teachers Forum, if you can possibly make it. And this is more than just an invitation to come to the meeting in Louisville, Kentucky, on the 26th of June. Is that right? June 26th, all day, at which at least, it depends, within a week we'll find out which Vatican officials will come, because this is part of my job too, is getting Vatican officials to speak in the United States. We've got their schedules in Rome. So three cardinals are certainly coming. Not sure which ones will be when and where, but almost certainly Cardinal Gagnon will be speaking in Louisville, Kentucky on the 26th of June. Hopefully also Cardinal Sanchez, who's from the Philippines, and the South American Cardinal Trujillo, who is president of the Council of the Family. In other words, what I'd like to do, and this is in the light of all that was crystallized in Rome, to have you people be in contact with the Holy See in a way that, well, obviously, I'm sure most of you have not been so far. This is my 23rd year, and is not not salesmanship. This is our faith in working under the Holy See. There's first of all the guarantee of orthodoxy, which is priceless. But secondly, there's also the assurance of grace, because the Pope is the Vicar of Christ, and these, call them departments of the Vatican, are directly under the Holy Father. So that now this has to be worked out, and as you realize, my own time is limited. So that, but I want to plan, and maybe with some of you, and we have to set a time in. Maybe one, maybe even a two-hour meeting on some weekend, when I can be more specific, more definite, for those who want to commit themselves, always within the limits of prudence, but nevertheless, as much as you can, with God's grace, to serve the church, because we have a great responsibility. So, that being 8:05, I think I better get to the questions. But first, 3 minutes, no more. I did show you, didn't I? The French Catechism? Oh, well, this is the Italian. Daniel, again, turn off the machine. We may have to forego the formal class. And again, I've got a 9 o'clock call coming in from Washington tonight. So, till about 3 minutes of 9, I'll be available. My apologies. What is meant by the various references in the Bible to Elisha, John the Baptist, being the same person? Well, clearly, Elisha is not John the Baptist. What's another name for Elisha?
Eliseus.
Please?
Eliseus.
So that symbolically, Elisha, you might say, prefigures John the Baptist. Now, I'm not sure what is behind the question, because it's not the same person. Though you never know what eisegetes can come up with. You know what eisegetes are, don't you? You know what eisegete is? Eisegetes are those who draw out of the text. Eisegetes are those who read into it. And they have a very fertile imagination. You know what they might have, what some of them might be saying about John the Baptist. My sister believes in reincarnation in some form of experience, not necessarily in the strict sense. Can you clarify? Yeah. Clearly, I knew the mind of the sister of this questioner, I wouldn't know what to clarify. I can talk about reincarnation. Now, the Catholic Church has never used the language, because it's totally misleading. But can we, very loosely speaking, can we say that our souls will be reincarnated? Can we say it? Yeah. In other words, our souls will once more be reunited with caro, carnis, which is body in Latin. So, our souls will be embodied. But reincarnation, as you know, is part of the Hindu faith, which believes that what we call human beings are not really human beings, that in all kinds of theories of Hinduism, but if you wish, then when the soul leaves one body, it enters another body. And depending on your behavior in one lifetime, you might become, less than human. And I guess you behave yourself as an animal. Why? Maybe you revert back to your human condition. So, I'm not sure, obviously, what the question means. Did God give the 1613 rules or laws to the Jewish people? We're not absolutely sure. In other words, 613 or other laws which the Jews had, were they divinely inspired? Not necessarily. No less than we have to say that polygamy, remember? Polygamy among the Jews was a practice. Yes. Was it part of the Mosaic Law? Yes. Was Moses acting under divine inspiration when he allowed polygamy? We're not sure. So, what are the needs and or opportunities to do catechesis in cooperation with the missions of charity in Russia and Poland? Well, that's why I went to Russia. Wide open. In other words, the Holy Father told Mother Teresa 8 years ago that he wants her sisters to become catechists themselves and train other catechists. That's what I've been doing for 8 years. That's why we have Ignatian Marian catechists. Because the Holy Father realizes there's no way the faith can be either preserved or promoted without involving the laity in depth. So yes. Now, what I'm doing, for example, is teaching the missionaries of charity, and if I weren't here, I'd be downstairs working on the explanations, the manuscript, about 600 pages finished, about at least 300 pages still to go, and the pages should be finished by early March. 300 pages to be written by yours truly. Because the missionaries of charity need the explanations of those 2,000 questions. Whether you have a true or false or multiple choice, somebody has to understand what's behind the answer. So, yes. And what the missionaries of charity are doing is well, training catechists. And they've got over 40,000 under instruction in Calcutta alone. So, in other words, the Holy Father wants the Catholic Church's future to depend, and certainly numerically, mainly on lay catechists. I've never put it so bluntly. And the missionaries of charity, well, are, I suggest, one evidence of the Holy Father's concern. Ordered the founders to change their constitutions. So they're still caring for the materially poor people, where the constitutions now read, as I may have told you, the free and wholehearted service of the spiritually and physically poorest of the poor. And first, the spiritually poorest of the poor. So, that's where the, and not for the alien, the missionaries of charity are in 104 countries. So, just let me know you're willing and sky's the limit. Does it seem that most missionary priests today are hooking their catechists into liberation theology. I'm not sure the question first had many missionary priests, and now it's most. I would say certainly quite a few. On the other hand, the church has been very hard hit in mission countries. And that's because of the church has been hit, and a theory like the Anonymous Christians, Karl Rahner, meaning that you need Hindus to be good Hindus, Muslims to be good Muslims, Buddhists to be good Buddhists. They don't try to course convert them to Christianity. That's Karl Rahner. And that has penetrated seminaries all over the world. And has done a lot of damage to missionary zeal. So, with all the more reason, it's not just the lady, because, look, the lady can be taken in as priest here. Any sign that the Jesuits may move into Russia to catechize? Well, I visited my Jesuits in Moscow. He's already on the faculty of Moscow, University of Moscow. But as I told my father general, my men in Rome, that I didn't put it quite in these words, but TU Moscow University is great, but to catechize the masses is a great need of Russia. But of course, whether it's teaching the University of Moscow or catechizing, it better be the true faith. For anyone who knows Father Jerome Palmer, Crispy, he passed away this morning. Let's say Hail Mary, he pulls him a soul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Eternal rest granted to him, O Lord. May he rest in peace. May his soul and the souls of all the faithful depart through the mercy of God. Rest in peace. Amen. Some of our Protestant friends argue that the Catholic Church is not at all the same as it was in the beginning. How do we know that it is? Well, you can certainly say that not all Catholics who call themselves Catholics are the same today as they were not only in the beginning, but they were even 25 years ago. So, that's one thing. But as far as the Catholic Church goes, of course it's the same. What's the proof? There's nothing which the Catholic Church teaches. Nothing. Zero. Now, this contradicts what she has been teaching for 1900 years. By the end of the 16th century, you talk about a Protestant raising the objection. As you say in Rome, Mamma Mia. By the year 1600, among the Protestant churches, all kinds of them, there were 200 interpretations of Christ's words, "This is my body, this is my blood." And I would say the single clearest proof of the Catholic Church being the same today as she was in the beginning of the first century is that the Catholic Church today teaches that abortion is murder and homosexuality is a grave sin against chastity. In your opinion, is there much hope for a full-scale revival in Western civilization, such as occurred in the 13th century and the 16th century Catholic Reformation? Or are we headed inevitably for a new dark age of barbarism? Are there any signs in our times similar to the eras which preceded past revivals? Yes. And one sign is our meeting here. You people, I mean it. For me, I mean just you physically here in chapel. But the laity, this is unknown, I think, in the history of the church. And, thank God, the educated laity, we have kept the faith and are concerned and strongly, I might almost say, ambitious to learn their faith, to deepen their faith. When I taught in the graduate school in Arlington, Virginia, Notre Dame Institute, all told, I taught there for 13 years. Over these years, most of my students, and I'd have up to 60, 70 in a class, graduate class. With rare exception, most of my students in these 13 years were lay people. Many in high positions in the government. And the real need is to mobilize, organize. And this is what we're trying to do here. Thanks for the question. Because I hope it brings out. It's really clear in my mind, otherwise I wouldn't be here. That there are people, and of course, I pray that you are among them, lay people, who are so aware of the revolution going on in Western civilization. And there's no other way of saving Western civilization except by re-Christianizing it, or better still, re-Catholicizing it. And that we cannot depend on the clergy to do it. And only because of their numbers, and because in so many ways they have been hit by the revolution. So, I am heartened. This question comes from an evangelical friend. She wants to know if the Jesuits are trained in military tactics or have any kind of military training. I'm going to save this question. The answer is yes. But see, there are two kinds of warfare. A lower kind of warfare, the kind of wars that people commonly associate with the military. And the real warfare. Which is what the church on earth is. And I'm not being symbolic, my friends. I'm not being symbolic. Am I clear? Are we sure? In fact, whether we realize it or not, these meetings are part of the military tactics. You've got to know the enemy. They got to train the old personnel. And then you let them loose. They've got to be organized. They've got to be able to take orders. And the orders, they help from the not just the general of the judges, but the general of the church militant. I have noticed that many Catholic publishers are advertising themselves as co-publishers of the new Catholic Catechism due out in March. Will these be accurate translations? Example, Dr. St. Paul, Wander, Elbehaus, and so on. Well, we had a meeting with the publisher of the Vatican Press. And I'm not sure how many were there for the meeting, but I met with the editor. And by the way, also, what you've got there, see, we are agents for Vatican Press in America. I use the word agents deliberately. And also for the Council of the Family. So, and now the question about whether it be accurate translations. Well, a little bit of what I've said before, pray. Pray for the English translation. But there will be only one English version for the whole English-speaking world, barring such changes as spelling of Savior, you know, O-U-R, favor, and so on. But keep praying. Thank you. I will. I'll pray. It is 8:30, but it is worth it, don't you think, even though we didn't get into the heart of the course proper. Now, I am home next Wednesday, and now, just to make sure that we got our signals straight, remember, these Wednesday night meetings, call them conferences in chapel, are meant for Ignatian and, for some of you, Marian catechists. I want to be clear about that. These are not classes in religion or theology. And consequently, they have to be, I guess, greater than maybe I have been so far, that participation in these classes is meant for those who want to, with God's grace, whatever, you know, your limitations of time and energy are, to work for the church as Marian or Ignatian catechist. Am I clear? Now, the two, among others, two conditions for becoming either Ignatian or Marian catechist are to go through the course. And secondly, to have made a 30-day spiritual exercises. And so that now, if you don't have the course material, what I gave you, therefore, was to order the course material. Understand? And let me tell you, there are, by now there have been, and I mean it, thousands of hours of dedicated labor given by people to make both the Ignatian Marian Catechism possible. And not one cent of pay. Am I clear? You're the one behind it. This is the Vicar of Christ. So that, in other words, in fact, it's embarrassing even to put that to call it tuition. And the tuition here at U of D now, the undergraduates, is close to $300 for a credit hour for one semester. In other words, and I have to be even more blunt, the people that the church needs is people who love Christ so much they'd give anything, I mean anything, to extend his message to the world. The kind of people that we want and the only kind that we need. So that those are not just, as I say, advertising slips. Am I still making sense? Okay. Shall we close with a prayer? In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti.
Amen.
Ave Maria, gratia plena, Dominus tecum, benedicta tu in mulieribus, et benedictus fructus ventris tui, Iesus. Sancta Maria, Mater Dei, ora pro nobis peccatoribus, nunc in hora mortis nostri, amen. Regina, sine labi originale concepta,
ora pro nobis.
In nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So we got tomorrow is the Feast of Our Lady of Lourdes. And 1858, remember? Less than 20 years before the definition of papal infallibility. So. Next Wednesday.
Could I have one more of those?
Please.